Hell of a thing trying to knock someone out who doesn't have a chin.
I forgot that like one of the dudes is basically looks like Vin Diesel stunt double.
I was like, this is like a shorter, slightly less like jacked Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
It's Vin Diesel's stunt double.
Welcome to episode 85 of the Laser Comb Podcast, the show where we comb through random episodes of classic TV with a fine-tooth laser. I am, as always, now and forevermore, Christopher Siege, one of your hosts.
And I am long ago, long forgotten, and not always your other host, NeoCal.
And this week on the Laser Comb Podcast, we are doing a couple firsts for the show. One, this is absolutely the newest series we've ever reviewed
I
because
didn't even know it was finished.
Letterkenny just ended about its run on Christmas Day of 2023, so a little over 3 months ago was when its 12th and final season aired. So
Yeah.
it now meets the criteria. One of the few rules that we actually have here on the Laser Comb Podcast is that a show needs to be finished.
And
And
tis finished.
it is. However, its spin-off series, Shorzy, is still going strong, 2 seasons in, with, I believe, at least another 2 planned.
And indeed, you're a big fan, as any video viewers, any YouTubes viewers can see. Siege has a Shorzy jersey.
Yes, I have a Shorzy hockey jersey of the with the Sudbury Blueberry Bulldogs, the team that Shorzy plays for in his titular series.
And well, wouldn't
Another
you know it? Oh, what was the other first? Yeah.
another first is I believe this is the first streaming series we've ever reviewed.
Yes, that's right. What a interesting time to be alive. Time goes fast, and like we were adults around the time of things being only available on stream. And that must be really weird to people that are like, 20 years old, and that's just the norm.
That's just the norm. We like I remember, and it like streaming exclusive shows actually aren't really as old as you'd think. Like I think one of the first ones was House of Cards on Netflix, and that premiered in like 2013 or something like that, 2012.
Yeah, and I remember it was like this big deal at the time, because people are like, a lot of people were against that.
That was also a time where, in the early to mid 2010s, where Netflix originals, quote unquote, had like some degree of prestige behind them because for a time, for at least the first few years, all of their original programming, they were releasing banger after banger.
And indeed, originals were like exclusively Netflix
Yeah,
and produced by them.
either
That
something that they produced or something that they purchased.
purchased and was like premiering usually on Netflix. Now that doesn't really mean anything.
No, not really. No, and
Yeah.
indeed, Netflix's model once, and I think this has to do with a lot of studios like Warner Brothers and Disney and Paramount and et cetera, deciding, hey, we're going to make our own streaming service. So,
With blackjack and hookers.
fuck you, Netflix. We're taking all our content back. And so
Yes, the un-Netflixing. Yeah.
Netflix ended up just instead of focusing on releasing a few like high quality shows that lasted for several seasons, what they started doing was just basically like shitting out whatever and
Or
canceling and
buying
or buying and
shows
canceling
that were somewhere
every
else. Yeah.
and canceling things after between 1 and 3 seasons, even if
That
they were
what a weird
successful.
trend. Yeah. I don't understand it. Like I don't understand the industry at all, but like shelving something or like canceling something sometimes before it even airs is a way for like investors or producers to make money back. Like this happens with movies more, but it has happened with like TV shows, and I don't get that. The first time I was confused by that was The Flash, that everyone was loving and everyone was watching. They were like done with it. Or was it The Punisher? All that stuff.
Indeed, a couple of years ago, Warner Brothers was making headlines after their merger with Discovery because they were just shelving completed projects willy-nilly for tax write-offs.
So it's something to do with tax.
Yeah. I don't understand like the ins and outs of how it works exactly, because
Yeah.
I didn't study business. I studied
Yeah.
something useful like creative writing.
Yeah, me too. I don't mention it very often too, but because I dropped out in like year near the very end of like year two, but I too have creative writing under my belt. But also that was the most fun class, so
They
no
are, yeah.
regrets, no regrets.
Well, and indeed, I say I poke fun at the fact that I studied creative writing because it's not really terribly useful in my professional life. But I did actually learn some things that have helped me doing the podcasts. Studying journalism, I learned how to interview people, for one thing.
Well, there you go. It just took a while.
It just took a while.
It
And
took
it
a
didn't
while.
end up in the medium that I originally intended. Because one of the things I wanted to do was be a film critic. So I
Well, we
studied.
kind of are.
We kind of are. Not kind of. We are critics. We are
Yeah.
critics. We have a platform. People listen to us.
And you're gonna hear some underwhelming, prepare to be whelmed. By
Prepare to be
critic, the
whelmed.
critique that I shall give today.
So
Well,
the
you know what? I feel like I've complained that my service in like hospitality, particularly bougie hospitality, was like a big waste, big gap of my life where I did nothing but work and slept. But knowing how to speak with some elegance isn't the proper term, but like some formality, definitely has helped me in my adult life.
Right. Yeah, and that's to add to that too. Another thing that I learned it when I was in university was critical thinking.
How dare you?
I
Look at this guy, went to school for critical thinking.
know, right?
I got a B minus in critical thinking. So yeah, we're
I S ranked that shit, bro.
Oh shit. Yeah, it's F D C B A, right? And then there's A plus plus S S S S S S. Everyone knows that's the official Canadian college grading.
We our universities take their grading system from Devil May Cry, is what we're saying.
Yeah, action Japanese action games probably be better for it. What looks better on your, you know what though? SS doesn't look good on a resume.
No,
You
SS
probably
doesn't
don't
really.
want
You probably don't want to put those two letters together under any circumstances.
No.
Letterkenny, first streaming series that we are reviewing. Letterkenny was was produced by the Canadian streaming service Crave, and Eventually, Hulu entered the equations because Letterkenny started streaming on Hulu in the US because Crave isn't available down there. Hulu isn't available here. Although now Hulu content ends up on Disney Plus.
Yeah, who knows how that works?
Yeah, so they eventually Hulu became like a co-producer it on the show. So
Sweet.
yes, for
Thanks, Hulu.
thanks Hulu, thanks Crave. So for all the American listeners, which to be quite frank is most of you, you would have seen this on Hulu, but here we watched it on Crave. And indeed, what would happen every so often was every time a new season of Letterkenny would drop, I would subscribe to Crave, watch it, watch as much as I could on Crave during that 1 month, and then cancel.
As is tradition.
That's how you do. And
Yeah.
nowadays, the only streaming services I really have are Disney Plus and Paramount Plus, of all things, because Paramount Plus is a lot better than people give it credit for, damn it. There's a lot of interesting original content on there that nobody talks about.
What was Peacemaker on
HBO Max, which
HBO Max, right?
listeners, we also don't have in Canada. Crave, I mentioned Crave, has a licensing deal with HBO. So HBO and Max content airs or streams in Canada on Crave, and also airs on TV on one of the various CTV branded channels.
Yeah, your grandma's TV will have it at certain times of the day.
Yeah. Or my
What an
TV.
awkward. Or your TV.
Because I have
Remember
cable.
when like PVRs or TiVos were like a thing? What a weird intermediate era where it was like, oh, people want to fast forward through the commercials, but it was also kind of before like streaming became regular.
PVRs are still around, but what's interesting is they're actually, because I said I have cable, they're these little tiny, like flat, like things that are like the size of a coaster, basically.
Yeah, they're like a little thing that just sits plugged into your TV.
Plugged into your TV, and it actually, like your Wi-Fi router, like streams TV to the box, essentially. And like PVR recordings are all like done in the cloud now.
In the
You don't have
cloud,
this
man.
giant cable box with like a loud, noisy hard drive in it anymore.
Oh man, what a weird time. PVRing or I guess America TiVo was the brand that a lot of people have synonymous with recording TV. And what did I even watch? It was like Big Brother and like Ancient Aliens. I PVR'd for funsies.
I basically have cable for wrestling.
Yeah.
Although in the middle of the night, randomly last night, because I'm working graveyards again this week, so I'm in the process of flipping my sleep schedule around. I actually
Oh
work
shit.
this evening.
Oh shit.
But in the middle of the night on CTV Sci-Fi, which used to be known as Space, there was weirdly a Stargate SG-1 marathon on. So I'm just like, oh, okay. Sat down and watched SG-1 for like 6 hours. Yeah. Anyway, Letterkenny.
Oh, pitter patter, let's get at her.
Go time!
You guys do CrossFit?
Well, come on, kitten, I won't tell anyone.
I would snort her dandruff.
Safety off.
That was well brought up. Too bad you weren't.
You guys want to dance?
Eyes on your own work there, Super Chief.
You're an idiot.
You're an idiot.
You're an idiot. Wait. You're an idiot. We done talking?
Letterkenny, yeah.
So Letterkenny was created by Jared Kesso and Jacob Tierney. Jared Kesso plays Wayne, the main dude in Letterkenny. Jacob Tierney directs every episode, and he is also in the show, although he's not in this episode. He plays a like he plays the local pastor.
Oh, okay. That's the other creator. Okay, interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, he plays the local pastor who is very obviously gay, but just not willing to admit it. to himself.
So my, unlike Christopher, my experience with Letterkenny is everyone being super stoked. There's another, do you say that stuff in America, listeners? Because I feel like that's another like Canadianism. Oh, fuck yeah, bud. I'm super stoked for the next season to come out. Like, I've never heard Americans or like on YouTube or like movies say stoked, but like everyone I know either still or used to say stoked, as in like how you stoke a fire. You're like hyped up.
Fucking stoked, man.
Fucking stoked. So yeah, let us know if that's if that's just a Canadianism. But yeah, everyone was stoked for it. It was kind of this thing that like when people were hanging out, they would have it on in the background.
Right.
Oddly, do you ever have friends that just like when you're hanging out, like doing board games or doing like doing something or just shooting the shit, like they need like a TV show or something on in the background if they're like a lot of people around?
That's the first time I saw Firefly was I went to a party. And Firefly. And they had
it just what? That's so weird.
And this was a long time ago too. This was this would have been this was like 2006, I think.
That's weird to me. Yeah, for some people it's super normal, but that was my first experience with this, and I was like, oh, it'd be cool to actually like sit down and like watch it all. Like
you know what I used
episode
to
episode.
You know what I used to do when I threw parties was I would rip music videos from YouTube. And have music videos playing.
Nice.
Yeah.
There you go.
So it's like there's something on the TV, but there's still music playing, you know?
Yeah, it's not something you need to pay attention to.
Yeah.
Thank God, because the thing that was on in the background before this was Archer.
Yeah, you've talked
about it. And everyone knows how much of a fan of Archer I am.
Yeah, patrons, pitch Archer as a show.
I mean, I'll watch it, and I'll be as unbiased as I possibly can, but I have some horror stories. I can't even remember if I've just told Christopher multiple times or if I've aired them on air, but I'll go into more detail if I'm subjected to Archer.
That could be fun for like the last like couple of episodes of the podcast as we each like do a show that the other one hates, like just knowingly.
Oh god, yeah. So it would have to be Archer for me, and for you it would be that's neutral for you. What would be hate that everyone loves? Rick and Morty, there you go.
Yeah
well. Oh, that's still Rick going, so no. Oh, I guess, yeah. we can't.
BoJack Horseman.
I don't find. Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
I restarted very quick. I restarted BoJack Horseman like 3 times, and it wasn't until I like got through like a chunk of the first season where I was like, okay, and then ended up liking it. But it's pretty despicable to start. So I feel you on that one.
The only BoJack Horseman, and we'll get into Letterkenny pretty quick here, but the only BoJack Horseman I've actually seen was I was at a friend's house drinking one night, like just after the first season, like dropped on Netflix, and they had like, we ended up watching, I think, like 4 or 5 episodes of it, and I'm just like, I hate this. Very similar to how I was exposed to Rick and Morty as well. Same thing. I was at someone's house. It was on.
And someone just has it on.
And I ended up watching like 4 or 5 episodes. And I'm like, I hate this.
There was a weird era. I wonder if we're past it, where all the characters are despicable people. And I thought it was just certain cartoons on Netflix or like the last decade. But I guess that all started with Seinfeld. Like all the characters are like people you don't want to be friends with.
Yeah, that's fair.
But that was more mild. They weren't like outright despicable like they are in Rick and Morty or BoJack.
You know what I've gotten into watching recently that I never watched growing up, but I just randomly started watching it on Paramount Plus, is Frasier. I actually really like that show.
Oh God. Yeah. I do not. So, or maybe it's one of those things where I was too young to appreciate it.
Yeah. I didn't give a shit about it when I was a kid or when I was a teenager, but now watching it in my 30s, I'm like, yeah, I like this.
Well, speaking of particularly boring episodes, not of Frasier, but to get to Letterkenny. Now, here's the thing. I don't have, much like Archer, if you go into, say, season 9 of something and you're not used to the self-referential jokes and the characters progressing as the seasons go on, maybe there's less to appreciate. What season and episode are we on here? We're on season 9?
So we are on the 56th episode overall of Letterkenny, Kids with Problems, which originally debuted on Crave and Hulu on December 25th of 2020. Now, for the first few years that Letterkenny was on, there would be like two or three seasons a year. But then for the last like several seasons, they would just drop one on Christmas Day every year.
Oh, as a treat.
Yeah, nice little treat. The last season of Letterkenny, not particularly good. In fact, I would say this, or maybe season 10 was probably like the last decent season of the show. They were definitely running out of steam. So I can see why they called it quits.
A lot of episodes, yeah. And they also want to progress it. Like, you either have like Seinfeld, where you can watch any one episode and it kind of stands alone, and it doesn't matter if it's episode 10 or like 100, they're almost interchangeable.
I would say it's the same with Letterkenny though.
Do you think so?
Yeah. Cause
let me tell you, maybe we just landed on a bad episode.
We absolutely did. As someone who has seen a lot of it.
I was bored out of my skull more so watching this than anything we've watched on the Lasercomb podcast. My dude, And here's the thing. It wasn't that it was bad. Just maybe I don't understand the nuance because I've only watched two seasons.
This wasn't a particularly funny episode. And in fact, it begins. So structurally, how Letterkenny, an episode of Letterkenny works is it always begins with a cold open with the characters in debating something. It's usually Wayne, Dan, Derry, and sometimes Katie is there for it. Sometimes she isn't. But it's almost always those three, like debating something. And this episode opens with not only one of the most boring debates that I've ever seen them go on in the show. It also like brought back memories of like small town gossip.
Small town gossip?
Where people like make up like disgusting things about a particular person in the town just out of boredom.
But they're pretending to be respectful about it and awkward. Okay, so I thought these were like a minute long, maybe 2 minutes long. This went on for 5 minutes.
It went on too long.
Too long, my dude.
It
wasn't funny to me.
It wasn't funny at all. It should have been like a minute or 2 minutes long.
There's a woman in town, probably is never shown on screen, but small town shit, right? She has like a bunch of kids and they're like, oh, she's got 17 kids or like whatever. Anyways, I saw her in like a dress and she was like eating an ice cream and can't remember why they're kicking someone out because they're like being distracted and they're trying to play bridge.
Oh, they're playing. Cribbage. Derry is taking too long to play his hand, and the other three are like, well, we prefer playing cribbage triplets anyway.
Yeah.
So they're trying to like kick him out.
Oh, it's really windy out there, so make sure you close the screen door. I found that part was going somewhere, but it was until the joke reveal of why he was distracted thinking about something went downhill.
The joke in giant air quotes. This reminded me of like high school shit.
High school shit, but like adults trying to talk about it seriously instead of like teenagers snickering.
Yeah.
About it, which made it worse. So this would be funnier if it was teenagers like gossiping.
So the crux of their little debate is a woman in town who has had like 17 kids. Derry says he hears a whistling sound, but she was eating ice cream, but she was wearing a sundress and it was quite windy. So the insinuation is that this woman is so, you know, loose that a gust of wind going up her skirt made a whistling sound.
And the funny thing is, us trying to summarize it is kind of funnier to me than it was when I was watching it. Because we're just cutting to the point. And they're like, well, how do you know she wasn't actually whistling? Oh, she was eating an ice cream. And they were like, okay, well, and then what's the lady's name?
Katie.
The sister. Katie is all like, oh, but like, you know, older women, their hygiene practices or lack thereof, like, you know, like it would add kind of like a rustling like sound to it. And then Wade pipes in and it's just like, also there might be something of the sound of a lightsaber coming on, you know, like the, as background like noise or in like a distance, and they kind of like all sync up, but they do this with a dead serious face because they're like trying to be respectful and like,
well, and to be fair, most of the stuff jokes delivered by these characters in this show are deadpan, especially.
Oh, I totally understand that. Yeah. Here's the thing, as someone who's only watched like the first couple seasons, it looks like they're tired. They're like, they're kind of done.
Yeah.
At least in the opening here. Anyways, like that's the joke and there's no foregone conclusion and it ends. And then title card comes up and the show in proper pops up.
And as with every other episode of, or almost every other episode of Letterkenny, the debate that goes on in the cold open has no bearing on the plot of the episode at all. It's just, that's how an episode of Letterkenny is structured.
Well, this one struggled.
this one struggled. I'm struggling, for God's sake. Fun fact, the actress who plays Katie, whose name is... what's her name? Michelle Milet. She's from Ladysmith. She was born and raised in Ladysmith. And in fact, I actually know people who know her.
Well, that's wild.
Yeah, I never thought that I would actually... I didn't know until people I worked with who like Letterkenny were like talking about like actually knowing her.
But now that you've mentioned it and how she acts and like the way she looks, I'm like, yeah, seems legit.
Now, I can't say because I've never met her, but I have heard she's well, an adjective that rhymes with the word Stitch.
She's a snitch.
Yes, exactly. No, I've heard she's not a very nice person, but you know, who can say? Talk is cheap.
Who can say? She's been doing too much, too many seasons of Letterkenny.
I will say though, the teaser video announcing the final season was her in a black like string bikini and like black chaps and a cowboy hat, like walking away from the camera. And I'm like, I appreciate this, this kind of marketing.
Is that what you appreciate about her?
that's what I appreciate about her. So we, after the intro, the characters reconvene at Modine's, which is the town bar that's owned by, can't remember her name at the moment. And they're all complaining about kids doing
the
something
youth
to
these
them.
Days.
Yeah, kids these days.
It starts with Dan sitting down. Gosh dang kids! I guess they stole his mail.
They stole his mailbox. Derry shows up and he's mad because someone left a bag of like flaming poop at his front door. And then
there's Bonnie, lots of references to all of them doing it when they were young, allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah. And Bonnie McMurray, who works at Modine's, shows up And apparently someone grabbed her ass.
The youth these days. And they were like, well, you know, it's funny because they all looked away. And they're like, oh, man, it's about time someone did something about this.
Yeah.
And that was funny when they all turned over and like looked at him and he's like, fuck no. Like he feels them just like looking at him. He doesn't even like look back. But
except when Bonnie McMurray mentions that someone did a little grab ass with her, which one thing that bugged me, and I thought this might actually become like a revelation in the plot somehow, is grab ass is typically refers to the act of like smacking someone in the ass with a towel.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought grab ass were just like teenagers like fooling around. So I guess that that slang has different meanings in different places in Canada.
Yeah, maybe.
No, you're right, because I've seen that referenced somewhere before. Yeah, grab at like South Park or something where people hit each other in the ass like after a game when they're in the showers, yeah, or whatever.
That's what grab ass is.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought that was going to, especially later on in the episode when Bonnie is like trying to interject when Katie and Rosie, I think.
Oh yeah, when they have their like, listen up, boys.
Dangerous Minds. That was the name of that movie, right?
Yeah.
That movie with Gangsta's Paradise that had Michelle Pfeiffer as the teacher sitting like cross-legged on the chair, like giving students the old what for.
So the long short is they have like an intervention, and the way they get the teenagers to come to the bar and have a stern talking to is they promise them a bag of chips, a pop, and a hot dog. But the hot dogs are coming.
So,
and that's smart if you think about it, right? Come for the pop and chips, stay for the hot dog.
So the recurring gag where Wayne keeps mentioning the pop and chips and like the hot dogs like coming later, like him referencing that periodically, I thought that was really funny. And indeed,
yeah, that's one of the funnier parts of the episode.
And indeed, something like really, I can't remember what, but something really awkward happens.
Yeah, he's like, Gail's been slaving over a hot microwave, cooking up your smokies for this. And this is the thanks you give her?
Yeah, so, something awkward happens and everyone kind of goes in silence. And Wayne is just like, think I smell those hot dogs.
Oh, right. Yeah, where there's like an awkward moment where like people might leave. And he's like, yeah, I think I smell the hot dogs coming right now.
So stuff like that made me laugh. The funniest part of this entire episode is the B plot involving Riley and Jonesy joining their hockey coach's beer league.
That isn't even part of the episode. Well, it's the B plot. Is they get approached after a practice because they're worrying about leg day and they're going back and forth. They're one of the funnier parts of any episode because, well, sorry, any of the quick back and forth. That's how that's the humor that the TV series is forged on. These like very quick-witted like back and forth wordplays of stupid people, but the show written by smart people.
Yeah.
The way you do stupid characters in a TV show is you need smart people to write them.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And they get approached by one of the reps or one of the coaches or whatever of a beer league.
It's their because they're on a like minor league hockey team. It's their hockey coach. It's their coach, but he approaches them about joining his beer league.
Oh, that's actually their actual coach.
Yeah.
Oh shit. Awkward.
His shtick is he's an alcoholic. When he's not drinking, he is a rage case. When he is drinking, he goes on awkward tangents about things.
Oh man, yeah, I felt the awkwardness. So the B plot is, oh, Apollo has come to say hello.
Everyone loves a cat cameo.
That's right. The B plot is Coach will get into weirdly poetic, extremely graphic stories about the early days of him fucking his wife.
His wife, who has since left him.
Or ex.
Yeah.
Ex-wife is a... But ex, yeah. And talking about, like, how great it is. And that's just kind of, like, awkward for them. But then they try to reason. They're like, okay, well, you know, drinks before games. Some brewskis, like, while we're in the changing room at halftime. It ain't so bad. That's a joke, people. I'm aware that there are three periods in hockey.
Oh, interesting. And, I'm on the Letterkenny wiki right now. The coach's name is never given in the show. He's just referred to as coach
because they just call him coach. Yeah. That's funny. And they try to reason that, oh yeah, like, you know, we're not forced to work out. We're not, you know, like, everything's really easy. They're scoring, like, really easy. They're the best people, like, in, like, the league. Yeah, it's totally for them. But unfortunately, they have to put up with coaches extremely pornographically described moments with his ex-wife. And
indeed, at the end of the episode, near the end of the episode, Riley and Jonesy are in the locker room, like, celebrating how much they love beer leagues because they just won the game. They're having beers before the game, during the game, after the game.
You kids ever been to Disneyland?
And one of them is just like, no, coach, we don't want to hear another one of your stories. We got a lot going for us right now.
We got a lot going for us right now.
This is not a particularly great episode, but there is nuggets.
There's nuggets. Yeah, that's why I said I was whelmed at the beginning of recording. But the main plot. Oh, so I feel like I'm so out of the loop because there's so many characters and their mannerisms that I don't get, that the whole thing feels more like sketch comedy.
Oh, instead it's of situational, totally it's totally
instead
what it
of
is.
Situational comedy.
I've said one of the reasons why I actually like, I think Shoresy is a better show, or at least is more to my taste. And I say mm-hmm. this as someone who really likes Letterkenny.
Yeah, yeah.
Is because Shoresy is very, like, story focused, whereas this show is a series of just, like, vignettes, basically.
It's a badum-chish. Yeah, badum-ch. Yeah.
The plot is there simply to put characters in a room together so they can engage in wordplay with one another.
And in scenarios like in hijinks. Yeah. So they can get in hijinks. Arguably, you could probably take this episode out of the season and lose absolutely nothing.
It's pretty much that way with most of the episodes, honestly, other than like things like Wayne like dating someone new or breaking up with someone,
right? Because then they or the end of season, was it 1-2 when he gets punched out and I can't remember, or the birthday party, right.
Real quick, the coach is the president of the board of the Letterkenny Gray Granite Copper Creek Whistle Ridge Golf and Country Club.
Yeah, that seems standard for how things are named.
In Letterkenny, yeah.
Especially for a country club. But man, I don't even remember. Ultimately, I like how he like whips the chair around, because like, you know, like people that talk to the youth, if they're cool, they sit in a chair backwards.
Well, yeah, that's why I referenced that Michelle Pfeiffer movie, because like that's I think it was called Dangerous Minds.
Listen here, kids. And anyways, they all have, and whenever, someone is like introduced to talk about a new topic in this weird, like intervention/youth group, they always clap, but like none of the kids are, none of the teenagers are. There's like crisp there's crisp handshakes given to each one.
The movie that I'm thinking of is Dangerous Minds, where she plays a teacher. To like a bunch
how
of
how do I
like,
reach these kids? Or wait, that's a different movie.
Yeah, and like the movie is most is probably most remembered for the Coolio song Gangsta's Paradise. And indeed, the music video for it has like scenes from the movie and has Michelle Pfeiffer in it sitting like backwards on a chair in front of Coolio.
All right. That's how you reach these kids.
That's how.
And they try to scare him with the law, and they try to talk about how playing grab ass is no good because you might end up with who was in it for 2 years and 4 months. What was it? I can't remember, but who's the homie in like the jumpsuit again? He gives like a speech on
Derry.
Yeah. Or was it one of the meathead guys? No, it was Derry, who is teaching the kids about why picking up trades is important.
Oh yeah, that was Derry. Yeah,
that was kind of funny.
Squirrely, like, this is Squirrely Dan's like little thing we come to like at the very end of it, where he's finishing off, because all he's basically just doing is yelling and shouting obscenities about how stealing a mailbox is a federal offense.
Is a federal crime.
The D-gens, Stewart and can't remember the other guy's name. The two like kind of vaguely goth looking dudes.
I remember them being cool in this episode. I was like, what's going on here? Why do they put up with them?
Their like spiel that they give.
They don't like that the kids are fighting on at the bus stop and swearing.
Yeah. And I guess they encourage them to work out basically to like vent their frustrations.
Oh, and then Vin Diesel's stunt doubles come out and like try to teach them about burning off this extra energy by learning self-defense.
Yeah,
part was kind of funny, I guess.
Well, yeah, one of them is like talking about Muay Thai and the other is talking about boxing, and it ends up turning into a fight because they're arguing over which one is better, and indeed they end up knocking each other out.
Yeah, boxing or Muay Thai, and it was like, oh, you only got like 2 points where you can like knock me out. I've got like 2 points on my fists and my elbows and my knees and my feet, and I could take you. And that kind of gets the kids more interested because they're watching these two people like fight and knock each other out.
There's a couple of moments that made me laugh in the episode. One is where a kid says, "This is so gay," and like everyone just like is like, "Oh, whoa.
Yeah, like almost more than half the way through the episode, they're like, "This is gay." Whoa.
It happens again later on in the episode too. I can't remember why, but someone says. Someone says something else, sorry, and they have like the same reaction. I don't know. Those bits made me laugh.
And then it seems like they're almost getting through to them at the very end. And one kid stands up and he's like, "You know what? You're right. I'm going to put all my energy into becoming an actor."
Yeah.
And I think Wayne is like, whoa, hold your horses there now, buddy. You don't want to become a child actor, be all fucked up. You'll have needle in your arm in no time.
Yeah.
Right. Like all the problems with like child actors and the issues that they've had to gone through. And then another one stands up and is like, "Yeah, I'm going to become like a teenage climate like activist." And he basically replies the same thing. He's like, whoa, you'll be trying to live up to the expectations of the ones that ruined this planet. Like, putting all their expectations on you, and before you know it, you'll have a needle in your arm. No, sit down. And then like another one's like, "Oh, I can't remember." But ultimately it's like, and then it's like, "Well, what should we be doing?" And he's like, "Well, you know, like when you're a teenager, you got to get your shithead years out of you." And I actually liked this little outro. And he's like, "So like, you know, just keep being shitheads, but don't be, you know, don't shithead too hard." And then he comes to the realization that it's like, you know, like, well, we still got a few years of being shitheads in us here, as he realizes how effed up the adults are. Because I think one of them is like, "Well, what are you guys going to do after all this?" "Oh, probably sit around and get hammered and hang out in the bar."
Maybe go have a fight or two.
Maybe go have a fight.
And I think the last thing Wayne says is he tells the group, he's like, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to take our advice and fuck right off.
I want you to take our advice and fuck right off. Did they even get hot dogs? I don't.
No, they never got the hot dogs.
Talking about this is kind of like more fun than it was watching this.
We forgot to mention that the person who finally admits to grabbing Bonnie McMurray's ass.
Right, is Tuke Girl, yeah.
Yeah, is Tuke Girl, who stands up after...
after the big spiel about like how men shouldn't... how men shouldn't be, or that's how they get on a registry.
Yeah.
And it's like, do you want to have...
Which one of you boys did it? Which one of you boys? And Bonnie McMurray is like...
It's like, you know, one day you're going to run into somebody who's, you know, like you're going to play grab ass with a girl and, you know, their dad or brother or something who's been tossing hay barrels all their life and who hits the drink hard. You know, you're going to run up into them and you're going to have to deal with someone like this. And Wayne's girlfriend like tears his like button shirt open and he just like doesn't move like a fucking like inch and he just keeps stares at them. That was kind of funny. And that's when I was like, oh, this isn't supposed to be realistic. This is like
another bit.
It's a sketch comedy
that I laughed at was where Rosie, Wayne's girlfriend, was like, are you familiar with the national like sex offenders registry list? And then it cuts over to Stuart with a big like creepy smile on his face. He's like, oh, yes.
And his. And the other guy tells him, shut up. At one point, he's being a stool for him and Kate.
Yeah, that's one of the things that too that you would probably would make more sense if you watched through the series.
I got the gist of it. That. Yeah. But yeah, it's a chick and she stands up and they're like, why'd you do it?
It's a great ass.
It's a great ass. And everyone's like, oh, well, you know, yeah. Oh, but that's not the point. Just because someone has a great ass doesn't mean you can grab it. And then it's revealed that she had like a
doggy poop bag sticking out of her back pocket. And so the girl was actually grabbing it to give it to her.
Or something. And then what's her name? Turned around and called her a skank.
Like, oh, that was the other thing where skank. Everyone was like, whoa.
And then it's kind of like revealed that whole thing was like stupid and it was her fault anyway, which is why she was trying to cut that whole thing off.
So we found, so the insinuation there is that she lit the bag of poop in front of
the institute
door and that she like instigated this whole thing by calling the other girl a skank. And so we never did find out though who stole Dan's mailbox, did we?
No, or it's either all linked or it doesn't matter. I wasn't sure. Like maybe it was probably her both. Too. Or both. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like I said, the show isn't terribly plot heavy, but it's still the plot of this episode in particular is a little underwritten and half baked in my opinion.
Yeah. And the teenagers are just kind of sitting there. At one point, one girl's on her phone and they like take her phone away.
Yeah. Fun fact I learned looking on the Letterkenny wiki was that one of the kids in the crowd ends up playing on the hockey team, the Sudbury Blueberry Bulldogs in Shoresy.
Oh, so they keep them around. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I thought those kids did a good job of acting like teenagers. At one point, like a couple of them are like fighting and they're like, Hey, I go to the shitter for like 2 minutes and you're already roughhousing, huh? And he like gets mad at them for that. Because and he's like, I like a tussle as much as the next guy, but we're trying to be real with you here.
we invited you down here to And we're giving you free pop and chips. And Gail, that's her name. Gail has been
Yeah,
slaving
Gail's
all
been
day.
slaving away over hot microwave, cooking up those smokies.
So, like I said, this is not a particularly great episode, but there are
Again,
nuggets.
it's kind of funnier talking about it than it was like watching it. But that's because we're summarizing all the one-liners
We're
here and
talking
there.
About the best parts.
But it was a grueling 30 minutes, I must say.
That I think the biggest problem with the episode is that cold open was just too was not funny and it was too long. And that kind of hurt
Set
the
the
entire, it set the tone. It kind of hurt the entire episode. And on that note, that was Letterkenny. Cal, you just caught a random episode of Letterkenny. Would you subscribe to Crave again next week?
If this was the only episode I had ever randomly caught, oh fuck no.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I think I'm with you there.
If I'm being like looking at it through like an unbiased opinion and I'm just looking at this episode, I wouldn't subscribe for another month of Crave. No, I wouldn't tune in next week. But I also know that I genuinely have liked all the other Letterkenny I've seen, but when you know it, it's the curse of the landing on a bad episode.
So you wouldn't ditch your family on Christmas Day to watch Letterkenny, would you, bud?
No, I'd still do that.
Fair enough. Anyway, that was episode 85. Oh, I'm the same. Same.
Probably not,
Yeah,
just
probably
based on
not.
this one.
Just based on this one alone, probably not. That was episode 85 of the Lasercomb podcast. Best way to support the show is to go to patreon.com/lasercomb, LazorCombe. We're starting at the $5 tier. You get a bonus exclusive podcast, the Super Lasercomb Patreon Super Show, commentary tracks, and the ability to pick a show for us to review a random episode of on this very podcast, which we're going to be doing next week. So if you want to get in on that, go to patreon.com/lasercomb. Join the Discord, link in the description, as always. Best way to interact with us.
Oh, yeah.
We will be back next week where we're jumping back into Patreon picks.
That's right, baby.
And what we're going to be reviewing next week is our longtime patron, Daniel. He pitched us actually over a year ago now. Pitched us the show Forever Night. And so we're gonna be reviewing that. And to figure out what episode we're gonna watch, I'm gonna go to the old trusty random number generator.
Neither of us have actually watched any of this. We're aware it exists, though.
Yes, I remember it. I remember seeing it in like TV Guide back in the 90s.
Oh, damn.
Where the hell is screen share? There's screen share. And all right, share screen.
We're sharing it.
We're sharing it. So how many episodes of Forever
Oh,
Night were
damn.
there?
This
Yeah.
was. Damn.
70.
People watched this.
Yeah, apparently. So one random number between 1 and 70, and here we go.
All right, Forever Night.
Forever Nightman?
Oh, shit.
Two. It's almost starting at the beginning. Dark Knight, the second chapter.
Okay, so we have a. Usually we don't do multi-parters, but.
Do you want to go again?
Well, is it actually. What do you think? Like, should we just include episode one?
Nah, let's just reroll. All
Yeah, we'll
right, here
reroll
we
it.
go. One, two, three, four, where it stops. Five, still
Oh, there
early.
you go.
Episode five, Dance by the Light of the Moon. Investigating the murder of an accountant and a respected cop, Nick's case leads him to a bewitching stripper.
Ooh.
Obsessed with death fantasies, causing him to remember how Jeanette seduced him.
How
All right.
Janet seduced him. What the fuck? Well, we're in for a ride, folks.
We're in for a ride in vampiric 1990s Toronto. I feel like this is a show meant for us to review.
I feel like that too. Anyone wondering, the premise of the show is there is a detective vampire in Toronto.
Yeah. 800-year-old vampire who becomes a detective in Toronto. Cool. All right. So we'll be back next week with that. And until then, I have been The Siege, one of your hosts.
And I'm your other host, NeoCal.
Thanks for listening. We'll give your balls a tug next time.
Or not.
Or our own balls.
You know. You know, take off.
Bye-bye.